Good morning to everyone. We want to say how thankful we are for our visitors who are with us this morning. Hope that you will come and be with us tonight for our services at 6 o'clock. At every opportunity you have to be with us. Well, Sarah's back. Got back at 8:30 last night. Glad to have her back with us. And I know that Mom's has not had a good time dealing with my cooking, but other than that, I'm just glad she's here. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Luke chapter 6, Luke chapter 6, and also Galatians chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and also Galatians chapter 6. I know that most of us, all of us here, probably would agree that there are people in the world today that even though they're not believers in Christ, that you would say that they are good people. They look out for other individuals or conscientious. They're just individuals that will reach out to people and care for them and show them goodness and show them kindness and consideration, even though they don't have necessarily a belief in the Bible itself. But I also realize this, based on our message last Sunday morning, we realize that from different aspects of the Bible we studied it, even though these people might demonstrate kindness in many different ways, that going to heaven is not going to be something that will be your reality if you're only relying upon your goodness alone. Goodness alone is not going to get you to heaven. Now, certainly, I think we all would agree as well that if you're going to live the Christian life, you ought to be a good person. You ought to strive every day to be the kind of person that Jesus would want you to be. And I think we all would agree that Jesus was a good person, of course. And that as disciples, we should strive to want to be good, especially if we are members of the body of Jesus Christ. Many, many years ago, there was a woman who lived in Nairobi, Africa, and she was a lovely woman. He, of course, the husband was also a very nice and kind individual. And they lived there for many, many years, all of their life. And she also wrote a book entitled Out of Africa. They made a movie about it. And she told one of her young boys, his name was Katu, that she wanted this young boy to be a servant or at least be a houseboy of her household, and he did that. And he did it very faithfully, and he was something or someone rather that did everything that he was supposed to do, and especially he learned the routine of everything that was supposed to go on in that particular house. After about 3 months, I want you to notice what she said in this article that she wrote. She said, after 3 months, he asked me one day to give him a letter of recommendation to my old friend, Sheikh Ali bin Salam. I did not want Katu to leave just when he had learned the routine of the house, and I said that I would raise his pay. No, he said, he was not leaving to get any higher pay, but that he had made up his mind that he would either become a Christian or a Mohammedan. Only he did not know which yet. For this reason, he had come and worked with me for 3 months in my house to see the way and the habits of the Christian. From me, he would go for 3 months to Sheikh Ali in Mombasa and study the ways of the habits of the Mohammedans, and then he would decide. Now, I want you to think about that. You're in the same situation that she's in. And here's this young man, and he's trying to make a decision between these two religions. Let's just say, for instance, that someone decides to come to your house, a guest, and that same person's going to stay in your house for 3 months, and he or she's going to base whether or not that person, this person, he or she, is going to become a Christian or some other religion. He or she is coming to your household to determine whether or not you are really, truly living the Christian life. And it's the great life that you should live and the greatest life And that is being a child of God, a Christian. I just wonder sometimes if someone would say, yes, this is the Christianity that I've been looking for, and by the way, this is the kind of life that I've been striving for. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16? Do you remember when He said, let your light so shine before men? That word so there is the same Greek word that is used in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And then it's the same word that Jesus used here in the 5th chapter when it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see what? Your good works and glorify Him which is in heaven. And so it's obvious here that if we're going to live the Christian life, we're going to strive and we want to be the very definition of goodness. Now, what would be a good definition of goodness? How would you describe this term, goodness, that is found in the Bible? For instance, we're not talking also about goodness. We're talking about good. We're also talking about good works. What definition? It's an active desire that you have towards someone else to help them in their need. You are going to seek to try to do your very best to help that person, to be good to them and to be kind to them, because you see, it's something that you actively want to do on a daily basis. It comes from a Greek word, agathos. It means someone who is honorable. It's someone who is morally honorable. By the way, it's someone who is pleasing to God, and also, I'm going to benefit somebody else. It's about benefiting. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9, there Paul talks about, yes, fruits of the Spirit. I thought it was just in Galatians. No, it's also in Ephesians. And notice what he says in verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to God. Now, I like this word. And I like what it represents. And when you think about it, I think about the word morally right. I think about the word, here is a person that is striving to do everything that is virtuous and righteous and honorable and genuine and pleasant to be with. I mean, if you're a good person and you're practicing goodness and kindness and gentleness, then I guarantee you people want to be with you and be around you and be with you. Goodness is something that we can demonstrate. Goodness is something that we can participate in, and goodness is something that we all can be involved in. We all can do it. We just strive to do it. In the Old Testament, I want you to notice what it says in Psalms 34, verse 14. Depart from evil and do good, seek peace, and then it says pursue it. What am I pursuing? I'm pursuing goodness. Psalms 37, notice what it says. Trust the Lord, and it says do good. Proverbs 12, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. But good works or good words make it glad. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22 says, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. And then Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17, it says, now, you learn to do good. And it just doesn't happen. It's something that you participate in, yes, and it's something that you do over and over. And the more you do it, the more you're going to like it, and the more you're going to be seen doing good. Now, remember, we also have the New Testament. And in the New Testament, it says this. It says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans chapter 12. And then in Colossians 1:10, it says, be fruitful in every good work. Hebrews 13:16 says, but do not forget to do good. And then it says, to share. We live in this world, don't we? And this world has a philosophy that is a little different, much different than what we strive to be, and much different than what the Bible actually says. And I guarantee you, if you drive around and you look at the back of a car, you will be able to tell what that person somewhat believes who's driving that car based on the bumper stickers that you see. Like this one, do unto others before they do unto you. Don't get mad, get even. I like this one. Get all you can all you can get, and then sit on the can. We all know that one's kind of funny, but it's true. There is a philosophy out there in the world that says, you know, this is what you ought to do, and this is how you ought to do certain things. But you see, when you look at what Paul says, what the New Testament says, if you go back to the Old Testament as well, things really haven't changed that much when it comes to people. People are people. Now, we've got technology, and we've got better things to help us with our comfort and all that. But sin is sin, and people are people, and they were the same back then as they are right now. Because you see, you're dealing with people. You're dealing with self-minded individuals. Me first. Aggression, revenge, and greed. It hasn't changed. Maybe in a different package. Maybe it looks different here and there. And yes, we are tempted more maybe in many different ways. But you see, folks, the bottom line is this. When it comes to living the Christian life, I know I can't get to heaven based on goodness alone, but that doesn't mean that I shouldn't be good. Because when you look in the Bible, there are two aspects to this lesson this morning that I want you to see. One is from the view of Jesus Christ, and the other is from the view of the Apostle Paul. And it's interesting that when Jesus was on this earth, He speaks to the disciples, but also to the multitudes of people, and He says to them, basically, do good unto all men. Now, that was a new story. That was a new message. That was a new truth. And then Paul later on comes on to say, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, he says, do the same thing. Do good unto all men. Now, go in your Bibles to the book of Luke, and I want you to see what Jesus has to say about this particular subject, because we're going to look at it, and I want us to read some passages. Notice what He says in that chapter, and we're going to begin in verse 27. He says, but I say to you here, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do as ask him back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is it that you, for even sinners, love those who love them? And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is it that to you? For even sinners do the same. Now, I can go on and read some more. We'll do that in a moment. But did you notice what Jesus said? Could you imagine Jesus speaking these words to the multitudes of people under this arrest? I mean, they are people who are occupied by Rome, and they are being persecuted right hand and the left. I mean, just think about their feelings, their emotions, what they're going through. And all of a sudden, Jesus starts speaking about these particular things. Could you imagine when He says, this is what you got to do when it comes to your enemies? Could you imagine going to an action-type film and here's this person you see as an action character and he's not going to revenge. He's not going to do harm to somebody else. He's going to show them kindness. I guarantee you, not very many people are going to go to that movie. It's going to flop. Because you're looking for an action hero that's going to fight and scrap, and he's going to do everything he can to get even with other people, and of course, he's going to win the day. But when you look at this text, you see something different. Because you see, he's talking about not only this kind of life that we live horizontally. He says, if you're going to live in this kingdom of mine and be my disciple, you not only live horizontally, you've got to remember that you're living based on a sight that you're looking at me. You're looking at my Father. It's vertical. And that's where you start every day of your life. You start every day looking at me, looking at my Father, asking, what would my Father do? What would I do? Meaning Jesus. What is His perspective? And I want you to think about when Jesus talks about enemies here and those who despitefully use you and abuse you, do you realize that Jesus is talking here about an attitude towards those who are considered to be enemies? And I think our realization would change if we realize that, you know, one day that same person that considers you an enemy, maybe not you them, but that same person is actually going to stand before God in judgment? Wouldn't it be better for that person who hates you and despises you and misuses you, wouldn't it be better for that person to be in heaven with you? They're not going to get to heaven because they're bad. And they're not going to get to heaven just because they're good like you're trying to do. No, they're going to get to heaven because they do exactly what the Heavenly Father says through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, who's going to be that instrument in the world out there that's going to bring them to Jesus Christ in this manner? And that's the reason why, look at the text, that's the reason why Jesus said, oh, by the way, I want you to pray for them. Not get even, not to hit them on the other, but I want you to pray for them. These are principles. You don't return a verbal slap with a verbal slap. You don't say, that's mine, and give it back. There's so many principles here in this. You know, don't be a bitter person. Don't get overly overwhelmed by this stuff that you have and someone's taking it from you and you're just going to do everything you're going to do to get it back. Did you notice in verse 31 that Jesus there talks about the golden rule, just as you want men to do to you, you also do them likewise? If you were in their situation, you're a bully or you're a person that abuses someone else. Wouldn't it be a better thing if someone said, you know, there's a better way to look at things, and it's through the eyes of God, and you're not acting very well, but I want you to know I love your soul. Will you please listen to me? You're never going to get them to understand or look if you kick them back. And Jesus was saying some hard words here. Not do unto others before they do unto you. Not get even. Brother, we're governed by a different example. You remember when Jesus gave an example of the Good Samaritan? These religious people are passing by. The person's in the ditch and he needs help and they're not paying attention at all. But if you look at the story, you understand the story. This Samaritan, this Good Samaritan had a cup. A cup of goodness. And he extended that cup of goodness to this man because he was in need. And yes, he might have made some wrong decisions. But did you notice what he says beginning in verse 32 again? But if you love those who love you, what credit is to you? For even sinners love those who love them. Folks, when you think about it, could you just imagine someone standing there and saying, you know, but David, I'm gonna lose so much if I do exactly what he tells me to do. What's more important? What's more important, what you have, what you possess? I mean, do you remember what Jesus said in 1 Peter chapter 2? Do you remember what he said in verse 20? Well, what credit is it? I'm thinking Peter is listening to these very words of Jesus. And he says the very same thing that Jesus says. Now he repeats it in 1 Peter chapter 2, and he says in verse 20, for what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently. But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Then he says, for in this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in His steps. You see, that's exactly what Cappy was trying to see in that person's house that he was living in for 3 months. trying to see something different in that person's life that stood out, that said, oh, I'm different from the world. I'm different from what other people see. Now, there's something else I want you to notice. Go back to your text and notice what it says. He begins to talk about something there that I know that is hard to understand. He says in verse 35, but love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. And then he says, therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. And then he says, forgive, and you will be forgiven. Do you realize that Jesus said, if you're going to be a good person, you're going to be willing to do what? You're going to be willing to forgive others. You're also going to be willing to show mercy to those who are in need of mercy because, you see, they just simply need it. And this is where the shoe leather is now on the feet, on the sandals, because, you see, now it's getting down to the nitty-gritty. Say, but are you saying that we should never judge at all? No, the Bible talks about righteous judgment. That's another lesson. But the mindset, you see, listen, the mindset that you have, the attitude that you have is different from the world out there. You see, the mindset is totally different because, you see, your attitude is different. What is that attitude? But the first thing he says in these verses, what comes to your mind is mercy. Therefore, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. That's your first attitude. Your first attitude is not to judge. Your first attitude is not to condemn. Your first attitude is to be merciful. Your attitude, first of all, is to want to forgive, not to hold on to. Do you think that enemy is going, oh, they've done you wrong, said something to you wrong? Do you think they're going to come back and say, please forgive me? They might. More than likely, they're not. So what you want to do is you want to give them mercy. You want to show them forgiveness. And that's why he goes on to say in the text something very important. That's why verse 38 is not just about giving your money. It's about giving your mercy, giving your forgiveness, giving prayer. He says, give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put into your bosom, for with the same manner that you use, it will be remeasured back to you. What's he talking about? The context is not about money. It's about goodness and mercy and forgiveness and prayer for your enemies. That's what it's all about. That's the context. You measure that out. You give that out. Guess what you're going to receive back? Do I have your attention this morning? Are you listening? Do you understand how difficult these words are, but also how inspiring they are to us and ought to change our lives? Because you see, Jesus is not messing around here. He's not just, you know, saying words that we can take or not take. Paul has something else to say. I've run out of time, but I'm going to do as best I can, okay? Look over in Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, you'll notice that the Apostle Paul says in verse 7, and this is a universal principle that's never going to change. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. That's not going to change, folks. That's a law, listen, that will never, ever, never, ever change. And then he says in verse 9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, even, he says, especially, he says, to those of the household of faith. So you have Jesus saying, do good unto all. And now you have the Apostle Paul saying, I want you to do good unto all. That's a very basic principle. And some principles just aren't going to change. If I were to say to you, for instance, if your diet consists of mainly foods high in cholesterol and fat, by the way, you're going to lose all kind of weight. You can drink a quart of alcohol a day, whiskey a day, and you'll never become an alcoholic. I mean, you don't have to associate with anybody, and guess what? Just shun everybody you can, and guess what? You'll have more friends than you can ever shake a stick at. You'll say, David's lost it. I'm not listening to him anymore. That's just crazy talk. But I tell you what, you listen to the Apostle Paul and what he says in verse 7. And did you notice he says he's talking to and about also the household of faith? You know what this is? This group of people here today that are believers, disciples of Jesus. You know what you are? You are a household of what? Faith. Because you have faith in what the Bible says about this subject. Debbie, you know, I try to be good to people, and sometimes they're not good back to me. I understand that. Think about Jesus. Were they good to Him all the time? Did they send Him to a cross? Did they nail Him on a cross? Was He crucified even though He was good to them? You're going to have people that are not going to be very good back to you. I know that can be frustrating. But I want to give you a principle that's not going to change either. As long as you live on this earth, there will always be people in need of your goodness. And as long as you live on this earth to the day you die until Jesus comes back again, there will always be people who will not acknowledge your goodness. What are you going to do? Throw the baby out with the bathwater? What are you going to do? Say, I'm just not going to be good anymore because they're not good to me or good back to me. That's not the reason why you're good. That's not the reason why you extend goodness to other individuals. You put that seed in that ground because you're hopeful and you're prayerful that it's going to produce a harvest. And you plant that seed of goodness in the heart of someone. Sometimes it's going to take and sometimes it's not. Someone is just going to dislike you and talk about you and against you, and that's going to happen. But you don't stop. You continue because you see, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5:12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. There will be a time when you'll receive that crown of righteousness that Paul talks about, and also he talks about that crown of glory. Did you notice in verse 10 he tells us that we ought to do good to those who are unbelievers? Because he uses the expression all men. Everyone. Why? Because they need it. Why? Because you see, it's something that you can give them. But then he goes on to say that we are to do good even unto those who are in the household of faith. Back in your Bible, and we're going to go back there, just go back to, and there's a context. When, you know, you look in 1 Peter chapter 2 and you read those verses, verse 20 through 21, it talks about walking in the footsteps of Jesus, but do you realize there's a context to that? Do you realize what he says in verse 11? There he talks about how that we are to live before this world in which we live. And it says, beloved, I beg you as sojourners, verse 11, and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your souls. That means you're going to live as best you can in this world in which you live to be the best Christian that you can. Because why? Because someone's watching you. They're watching you. But notice what he says. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify me. Glorify you. Is that what it says? No. It says glorify God in the day of visitation. Goodness. You know, there's an aspect of God that sometimes we forget, and I just want to remind you of that. In Romans chapter, we talked about this just the other day, in Romans chapter 11, verse 22, there Paul talks about the goodness, but also the severity of God. He says in verse 22, therefore consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell. Severity. But towards you, goodness, if you continue in His goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about whether you're a Jew or a Gentile in this concept. God extends to you, first of all, goodness, which goes all the way back to chapter 2, verse 4 of this same book. Because it's the goodness of God that will lead you, he says, to repentance, that will bring you to a place where you see God, who He is, what He is for you, and that He loves you. He's a good God. Always. On the front of your bulletin, remember, He is a good God, always a good God. And he says, the thing I want you to do is realize that and understand what I did for you. But my word, he says, will be fulfilled. And if you decide in heaven, God bless you. But if you believe that it doesn't matter and that you decide against my will, you know there's a hell, then you'll experience the severity and the wrath of God. Because God cannot contradict His Word. And His Word will come to pass in the day of visitation. Which will it be? Sitting there this morning thinking about your own heart, your own life, where you are, where you stand, saved, lost, saved, lost. Which is it? God in His goodness sent His Son, not because you deserve this, not because you're good enough, but because He loves you so much that He would allow His Son to die on a cross, be despised, spat upon, beaten, nailed to that cross, suffer pain and agony for you that much. That's how good God is. And the last thing He wants you to be is lost. So why not come this morning? In your heart you know where you need to be and what you need to do. I need prayers. I need encouragement. I need Jesus back in my life. Whatever the case may be, will you come right now and sing this song?